Picture a hangar in Mountain View, California. One of the old Navy airship hangars built almost a century ago for craft nobody thought we'd ever build again, and inside it, floating a few feet off the floor, is a rigid airship 400 feet long. Longer than a Boeing 747 stretched by more than 100 feet. Held up by helium, held together by carbon fiber and titanium, and moved by a dozen electric motors. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Vector, and this is Cleared Direct. Today we're going to talk about the airship, not as a punchline, not as the thing that ends in newsreel footage over New Jersey, as a serious engineering question that a very well-funded group of people is asking right now: should the rigid dirigible come back? And if it should, what exactly is it good for? Let's break this down. Before we get into it, this segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones: first solo private pilot, instrument rated CFI the whole journey, beautifully made and built to last. If you know a pilot who just crossed one of those lines, that's a gift that actually means something. AviationSoul.com. So let's start with the vocabulary, because people throw these words around and mix them up. A blimp is a balloon with an engine. It holds its shape purely because the gas inside is at higher pressure than the air outside. If you let the gas out, a blimp is a bag on the ground. The Goodyear blimp, for most of its history, was exactly that. A rigid airship is a completely different animal. It has an actual internal skeleton, a frame, and inside that frame are separate gas cells. The shape doesn't come from gas pressure. The shape comes from the structure, the same way an airplane's shape comes from its structure. The Hindenburg was a rigid airship. The old Navy ships, the Akron and the Macon, were rigid airships. And the thing floating in that hangar in Mountain View, called Pathfinder 1, is the first new rigid airship built in the United States in something like 7 decades. Here's who's building it. The company is called LTA Research. LTA stands for Lighter Than Air, and the money behind it comes from Sergey Brin, one of the founders of Google. This is not a garage project. This is a serious, funded, multi-year program with real engineers and a real flight test campaign. Now, here's the honest part, and I want to be honest early. Pathfinder 1 is not going to move cargo across an ocean next year. It's a technology demonstrator. Its job is to prove the engineering, to fly, to gather data, and to teach the team how to build the next one bigger. As of its flight testing, it's been doing tethered and low-altitude free flights around the south end of San Francisco Bay, staying low, staying slow, expanding the envelope one careful step at a time. That's the right way to do it. But it means we're talking about a technology at the very beginning of its second life, not one that's about to change your world this quarter. So why do it at all? Why would smart people spend real money to revive a technology that, in the popular imagination, is basically synonymous with disaster? Here's what most people miss. The reason airships died was not that they were a bad idea. The reason airships died is that the airplane got good very, very fast, and the airship had two spectacular accidents at exactly the wrong moment. Think about the timeline. In the 1920s and 30s, if you wanted to carry people or cargo across an ocean through the airship was genuinely your best option. Airplanes of that era couldn't do it with any payload or range. The rigid airship could cross the Atlantic in comfort, with cabins and dining rooms, while airplanes were still open cockpits and short hops. Then two things happened. The airplane matured into the DC-3 and beyond, and long-range flight became an airplane's job, and the Hindenburg burned in 1937, on newsreel, in front of the whole world. Combine a technology being economically leapfrogged with a public relations catastrophe on film, and you get an idea that doesn't just fail. It becomes taboo, but the physics never went away. And the physics is what LTA is betting on. Let me give you the core idea. The thing that makes an engineer look at an airship and go, "Wait, there's something here." An airplane spends energy to stay up. Every second you're in the air, the wing is doing work, and the engine is burning fuel or draining a battery to keep that wing moving fast enough to make lift. Stop spending energy, and you come down. That's the deal. That's flying. An airship does not spend energy to stay up. It floats. Buoyancy is free. The helium holds the weight, whether the motors are running or not. The only thing the airship spends energy on is going forward, pushing through the air, and fighting the wind. Now that sounds like a magic trick, and here's the catch that keeps it honest. To get enough buoyancy, an airship has to be enormous, and enormous means a huge amount of surface area pushing against the air. So airships are slow. Pathfinder 1 is designed to cruise in the range of about 60 knots. That's not an airliner. That's not even a fast light airplane. A Cessna 172 will run away from it. So here's the trade-off in one sentence. An airship buys you the ability to lift a lot of weight and hold it up for free in exchange for going slowly and being physically gigantic. The data tells an interesting story about where that trade-off might actually win. It's not passengers. It's probably not racing an airliner from New York to London. The place an airship might genuinely make sense is the place where roads and runways don't exist, and speed doesn't matter as much as reach. Think about disaster relief. An earthquake takes out the roads and cracks the one runway in a region. A cargo airplane needs that runway. A helicopter can get in, but a helicopter can only sling a few tons and burns fuel at a frightening rate doing it. An airship, in principle, can carry a large load, set it down in a field or a parking lot with no infrastructure at all, and it doesn't need a paved thing to land on. Sergey Brin has said openly that humanitarian and disaster response is a big part of the motivation here. And whatever you think of the business case, that mission actually fits the machine. Slow is fine when the alternative is a truck that can't get through and a runway that's rubble. Think about remote cargo. There are enormous parts of this planet, northern Canada, parts of Africa, the interior of Alaska, where the only way to move heavy goods is to wait for winter and drive over frozen ground, or to not move them at all. An airship doesn't care whether the ground is frozen. It flies over the whole problem. And now think about the piece that makes this a 2020 story instead of a 1930s story. Electric propulsion. The old airships burned fuel, and burning fuel created a strange engineering nightmare. As you burn off fuel weight, the ship gets lighter, and a ship that's getting lighter wants to climb. And now you're venting precious lifting gas or grabbing ballast to stay balanced. The whole flight was a running battle to manage weight. Pathfinder 1 runs on electric motors, a dozen of them, driven by batteries. Now, batteries have a real downside here, and I'm not going to skate past it. Batteries are heavy, and unlike fuel, they don't get lighter as you use them. A drained battery weighs exactly what a full one does. For most electric aircraft, that dead weight is a killer. But here's the beautiful part for an airship specifically. An airship's whole life is about managing weight that doesn't change in flight. The helium doesn't get used up. And a battery that stays the same weight from takeoff to landing is, for a buoyant vehicle, actually easier to balance than fuel that vanishes as you fly. The thing that ruins electric airplanes is almost a feature for an electric airship. The vehicle and the powertrain kind of want the same thing. So, you get a machine that can lift heavy loads, reach places with no infrastructure, and do it with far less energy and far less noise than a helicopter, and with dramatically lower emissions than a cargo plane. On paper, that's a compelling package for a specific set of missions. Now let me be the honest engineer and tell you why this is hard. Because if I only gave you the promise, I'd be doing exactly what I promise I won't do on this show. Problem one is helium. Helium is expensive. It's a finite resource pulled out of the ground alongside natural gas. And the supply market is genuinely tight and volatile. Build a fleet of enormous airships, and you're talking about a serious appetite for a gas the world already fights over for medical scanners and semiconductors. Helium doesn't burn, which is why we use it instead of hydrogen, and that safety is non-negotiable after history. But it's not cheap, and it's not unlimited. Problem two is the wind, and this is the big one. An airship is basically a giant sail that you're trying to fly on purpose. It has enormous surface area and very little speed, which means wind isn't a minor correction. It's a dominant force ground handling. Getting one of these in and out of a hangar, docking it, holding it still in a gust, has historically been where airships get damaged or destroyed. Many of the old ships didn't die in flight. They died being wrestled on the ground. LTA has been doing a lot of work on exactly this, precise electric motor control to hold position. And that's not a footnote. That's one of the central engineering problems of the entire concept. Problem three is scale and money. Pathfinder 1 is 400 feet long and it's a demonstrator. The versions that would actually move meaningful cargo need to be bigger, and everything about an airship gets harder as it gets bigger, and the whole thing has to eventually make economic sense against trucks, ships, and airplanes that already exist and already work. That's a steep hill. Plenty of past airship revivals have died on that hill, right at the point where the prototype flew beautifully, and the business never closed. And that's the pattern I want you to keep in mind, because you've seen it before. The hybrid air vehicles Airlander over in the United Kingdom. various cargo airship startups over the last 20 years, the graveyard of modern airship projects is not empty. A flying prototype is a real achievement, and it is also not the same thing as a working industry. I'd rather tell you that now than sell you a hangar full of helium and hope. So where does that leave us? Let me give you my honest read. Pathfinder 1 is real. It flew. It's a genuinely impressive piece of engineering. Carbon fiber and titanium framing, electric propulsion, modern flight controls, everything the 1930s couldn't do wrapped around an idea the 1930s understood perfectly. That deserves respect, not a Hindenburg joke. And at the same time, the honest timeline is measured in years, and the honest market is narrow and specific. This is not the flying cruise ship coming back to carry you across the Atlantic. This is, at best, a specialized heavy lift tool for places the rest of aviation can't easily reach disaster zones. The far north, the middle of nowhere with a heavy thing that needs to get there. Here's what I find genuinely interesting as a systems thinker. We spent 90 years assuming the airship lost because it was wrong. It didn't lose because it was wrong. It lost because it was early, and because the airplane got great, and because of two fires nobody could unsee. Strip all that away, look at the physics with modern materials and modern electric power, and the question gets a lot more open than the history books make it sound. Buoyancy is free. That sentence is going to keep being true no matter what year it is. Whether anybody can build a business around it is the part we don't know yet. And that gap between a thing being physically elegant and a thing being commercially real is where most of the future of flight actually lives. My reporting on Pathfinder 1 draws on LTA Research's own published material on the aircraft along with coverage in the Aviation and Technology Press. As always, go read it yourself and form your own view. You can find more of what we cover at RadioHangar.com. I'm Vector. Next time you see one of those old airship hangars on a sectional and wonder why anyone built something that big for a technology that supposedly died, remember that somebody just parked a 400-foot airship inside one of them. The past isn't always as finished as it looks. Fly safe.